Well, brothers and sisters, our scripture this evening puts before us a really inspiring example of faith, of great faith, the faith of Caleb, mighty man of God. And Caleb is presented to us in the Word of God as a powerful example for us to follow. As I hope has been coming across as we go through this book, the message of the book of Joshua is go forward in faith. Believe the Lord and his promises. And so go forward no matter what dangers, no matter what enemies or opposition. Boldly go forward, whatever life throws at you as a believer. Face it with faith, confident the Lord is with you. And Caleb is held up to us as an example of exactly this kind of faith. And so tonight, I just simply want to ask, who was Caleb? What made his faith so great? And what are we to learn from his example as he is in the scriptures? Well, if you remember from a few weeks ago, we're now in the second half of the book of Joshua. And most of it is made up of long lists of places in the Promised Land. And it's describing how the Promised Land was portioned out amongst the children of Israel to the different tribes. And remember, we saw when we looked at this as an introduction, this whole section should really make us think about our inheritance, the promise that we have in Christ of inheritance in the kingdom of heaven above, an eternal life to come. And as we think on that, that should inspire us and give us the faith to keep going forward. Well, in chapter 15, if you look with me at verses 1 to 12, we're given here the allotment of the tribe of Judah. And the Lord grants to this tribe really a very sizable portion of the promised land. All the land of the south, extending to the eastern border, up into even the middle of the land, and including the city that will, of course, one day become Jerusalem and the capital. Now, what I want you to notice is that Caleb's story is given to us on either side of this list of the places for Judah. So before it, in chapter 14, we're really told about Caleb's faith and the promise that he'd been given and his desire to have it as had been promised, and a certain part of the land, Hebron. And really, though, you hear about his faith in God's promise. But then after the list in chapter 15, so verse 13, we hear about Caleb actually taking action, going up and possessing Hebron, and his success, and then also how he inspired the next generation, and even his future son-in-law, to take action and take the promised land. So clearly you see very, very purposefully, Caleb's story is wrapped around this inheritance list of Judah. And that itself is sending a message, I think probably to Judah in particular. Remember the stirring example of Caleb. Remember his faith in God's promise. And then remember he, in faith, took action. So all of you in Judah and all for all these places listed here, go and do likewise. He's this example to the people of God. So you look with me in chapter 14, and right at the start of his record in verse 6, we're told something remarkable about Caleb. And you might have missed this. But it says that Caleb was the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. But did you catch that? The Kenizzite. Who's that? Well, the Kenizzites were actually one of the peoples in Canaan, whom the Lord had promised to remove from the land. They're one of the pagan, the Gentiles peoples, the unclean peoples. And in fact, if you go back to Genesis in chapter 15, and God's promise to Abraham, saying, I'll drive out from the land the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Kenizzites. And so right from the start, he's a descendant of one of these outcast sinful peoples. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how or when, But at some point in the past, Caleb's father has joined himself to Israel, to the people of God. Although naturally born a Kenizzite, at some point he left that behind and becomes a part of Israel. He's adopted, he's accepted into the people of God. Now Caleb, of course, he's old enough. He was around at the time of the Exodus. So you're going back into the generations when Israel was in Egypt. So I think most likely Caleb's father at some point had been taken as a slave into Egypt. Egypt did that, we know, at the time. They went into the land of Canaan raiding and they took slaves. And at some point when he's a slave back there in Egypt alongside the Israelites, he joins himself to them. And again, I know I'm speculating, but can you imagine he's there working in the pits alongside Israel and he hears, wait, there's a deliverer? Who's this man Moses? Who is this Lord who's going to rescue you? And he puts his faith in the Lord and he joins himself and becomes one of the children of God escaping in the Exodus. But I don't want you to miss the point here. Caleb and his father, they put their faith in the Lord and became true Israelites indeed. Formerly pagans outside the people of God. And by faith, becoming part of the people. And Caleb, even a great hero of faith. And it's just as Paul says in Romans 2. A true Jew is from the heart by faith. It's faith in the Lord that makes you part of his people. And I hope it strikes you again, yet again in the book of Joshua, here is someone with a pagan origin, accepted in God's people and given a wonderful inheritance amongst them, cleansed and accepted by God. Because apart from Joshua, who's the other character, individual, who's been highlighted in the book of Joshua to us as an example? Rahab. Rahab, the former harlot of Jericho, becomes a mother in Israel. And now you've got, again, the same thing. The example of a Gentile made part of the people of God. And again, this is part of the evangelistic message of the book of Joshua in their time and to us. This is preaching. This is an invitation to the peoples who were the enemies of God, fighting against God's purposes. If you would only serve the Lord, if you would but submit and put your faith in him, you too could have a place in the kingdom. And that's still true today. Caleb's an encouragement to all of us as sinners. We all start off in that place, outside of the people of God and under the judgment of God as sinners. And here's this wonderful invitation that by faith in his promise, you too can be given a place, part of God's people, have an inheritance. It's a wonderful thing, this little detail, that he was a Kenizzite. Well, the second thing that really comes across about Caleb's faith in this passage is it was lifelong. He was faithful to the Lord all his life. From his time as a young man and then in his prime to his later years, he wholly follows the Lord all his life. If you look with me at verses 7 to 14, this is when we realize this Caleb is the same Caleb who served as a spy in Canaan 45 years before, when Israel first escapes. Now that's the story that's recorded for us in Numbers chapters 13 and 14, if you want to turn there at some other time. If you remember, Moses leads the people to the border of the promised land. And he sends 12 spies out to search out the land, get the lay of the land. And 10 of the spies come back quivering in fear. It's hopeless. There's giants. There's fortresses. God's brought us out here just to destroy us. And there's only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, who believe the Lord. And they say, no, come on, we can take them. Let's go for it. And don't you get this sense that when Caleb saw a difficulty, that didn't discourage him, that provoked him. Yes, if there's a challenge, all the better. Let's go for it. But only Joshua and Caleb, and in fact, it even says it in Numbers, the rest of them almost turn on Joshua and Caleb to try and kill them. Because they said, no, that would just be a disaster for us. And you know what happened. Swayed by unbelief, they turn back. And then there's that terrible punishment. That generation, for its unbelief, will not enter the land. Now think about that. 40 years for that generation to die out. There's Caleb. 40 years, as he puts it, the Lord sustaining him. The Lord's kept me alive. But he would have seen one by one all the others of his generation falling away, passing away. But he's holding on to the promise. And he's faithful still. Because now, look, here he is, 85 years old. He's not changed one bit. It's like they're having to hold him back. And here he is, he's saying, come on, we can take them. The Lord can do it. And yeah, you're saying that's where the sons of Anak live, the descendants of the giants and their fortresses. Come on, we can do it. His faith is undimmed. And it's just burning as brightly now as 45 years ago. And God has sustained him all this time. So Caleb is one of those rare people, very few in the Bible, who are commended by the Lord. In Numbers, God commends him. He says, Caleb is of a different spirit and promises a reward. And as it says three times here in Joshua, and this is the word of God, Caleb wholly followed the Lord. That's God's comment. That's God's judgment of Caleb, forever recorded in the word of God. Wouldn't you like that to be said of you? Wouldn't you like that to be on your tombstone at the end of your days? If someone could say that of you, he wholly followed the Lord. Even if the rest of your generation doesn't, everybody else is turning away. He wholly followed the Lord. Caleb had a single-minded, a pure devotion to the Lord. He's all in. If God said it, that's it for Caleb. There's no compromise. There's no hesitation. So he is just such an inspiring example of faith. And I want to suggest to you, brothers and sisters, particularly for believers who may be now older in years, or if you've been a Christian for a long time, maybe if you're an older saint like Caleb, you now have before you, in whatever time God gives you, you have a wonderful opportunity to be like a Caleb. You can be an inspiring example of faith. And especially to younger Christians. Live wholly for the Lord. You may have retired even from earthly work. The Lord's not finished with you. Wholly serve him. You can say to younger Christians, I have known the Lord for many years, and I've always found him true and faithful. Let me testify to you about the Lord's goodness. His word is true. He keeps his promises. And I have been walking with the Lord year after year. And you will set an incredible example. Younger Christians, and maybe particularly in the current generations, feel overwhelmed. Often just feel frightened by their trials and anxious. And young Christians, their faith is weak. It's growing. And what an example you can be to the end of your life of trusting the Lord with wholehearted devotion. It makes me imagine some young new recruit to the army when the war's raging and he comes to the front line for the first time and he's turned green with fear and he's shaking. And then he sees a grizzled old veteran sat there. The bombs are dropping all around and they're completely unfazed. And the veteran says, oh yes, I got this scar here and that scar here, but oh, what a victory it was. And the young believer says, but I'm so frightened, look at the battle. And the veteran says, oh, but wait till you see the commander in action. Wait till you see our king. He will not let us down. And you can strengthen the faith of the younger believer with experience. And let me put it this way. When you think about Caleb's consistent lifelong faith, don't underestimate the fruitfulness, the glory of just being consistent as a Christian. The great good you can do just by standing consistently on the truth, for the same truths, and just living a consistent godly life. Maybe nothing flashy, nothing that draws a lot of attention, but the fruit that can come from just 40 years of just consistently looking to God's promise, walking with God, you can have a most powerful effect on those around you, on Christians who get knocked down, blown off course. But if they know that there's a brother or sister who's just consistently walking with the Lord, what a help you can be to them. And brothers and sisters, let me say also this to challenge you. He's old, but Caleb's zeal is not dimmed. He's just as passionate and determined to go forward as an old man as a young man. What I'm really saying is growing older is no reason to slow down as a Christian. You might be slowing down bodily and outwardly can't do as much, but you can be more zealous in your love and service to God, in your prayers, your faith. You are now closer to glory, as far as we ever can ever know, than the younger folks. But you can be just as zealous to see souls saved, just as in love with the Lord as when you were first saved, just as enthusiastic to be in the Lord's house and to do his will. And again, your faithful fire can light up others. You've got a glorious opportunity if you're older to be a Caleb. Don't fear growing older. Just see it as a way to serve the Lord in a different way. And think of Caleb. If we look in chapter 15, we've got a wonderful little vignette of how he inspired the next generation. If you look at verse 16. So Caleb, in faith, he takes the land of Hebron and he throws down the gauntlet to the younger men. He says, go on, go and take that bit of land over there. I'll even give my daughter's hand in marriage to you. And then we meet Othniel, and he acts in faith, and he wins the prize, and he becomes the son-in-law of this mighty man. And of course, as you know, Othniel is one of the judges. He's listed in the book of Judges. He's stirred up by Caleb's example. But then also his daughter, Aksar, as well. Now, again, this was just not the done thing in their culture and their time, but she boldly comes and asks for... Well, she says, you've given us a field. That's what's normal. That's what's expected. Part of the inheritance, the family lotting it. She says, she's bold to her father. Can you give us some springs as well? Some of the water sources so that we can have the really best of the best. Now, where do you think she got that spirit from? This bold woman of faith. She gets it from her father. And again, you're meant to see in the scripture, she's an example of faith. Of going in faith for these prizes that God has promised his people. And Caleb rewards her bold faith. Not just the upper springs. You can have the lower ones as well. And I think this daughter is meant to inspire us to pray to our Heavenly Father. And to boldly ask for what he promises. Our inheritance in Christ. And he's a generous father. Who gives when we ask. I really do hope, brothers and sisters, you will take this point. That you can be a great Caleb, a great example of faith, by being consistent, serving the Lord wholeheartedly, and even into old age, pressing on in faith. When I was a little boy, we went every Sunday to a little Methodist chapel. I don't know, there can't have been more than a dozen people most Sundays. I think me and my sister were usually the only kids. But you know what I remember? The grey-haired, some little old ladies, well, well advanced in years, who were there faithfully every week. They had come to the Lord as children themselves when there'd been something of a revival. And what I remember now, long gone, they've gone to the Lord, but I remember them praying. I remember the little words of encouragement when we'd come to the chapel. I still have today a little book of Bible verses one of them gave to encourage me. And I'm so grateful for those saints. And brothers and sisters, that could be you. Do you know what difference you could make in the lives of some of the children that are here on Sunday morning when they see you worshiping the Lord week by week? A little word of encouragement that you might give them. You might forever change one of those little ones and they grow to be a mighty servant of God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Well, there's one more really important thing I think we're meant to take from Caleb's example. It's what gave Caleb such faith. What fueled such faith? And the answer, of course, is God's word. Specifically, the promises in God's word. Caleb took hold of God's promises. He believed them. And he wanted them and he acted on them. And it's the promises that gave him faith. Now that's really emphasized in chapter 14. If you look with me from verse 9 onwards. Now they're in the promised land. Caleb comes to Joshua and he says, "Do you remember what Moses said to me? On that day when we came back as spies, Moses, the servant of the Lord, he gave a word from God, a promise, that that bit of land, Hebron, that I'd scouted out, that God would give it to me." See, it's not just for Caleb that he had the same promises as everybody else collectively as Judah. He had those. He'd also been given this specific promise as a blessing. That land you'd scouted, that fortress with the giants that they said you couldn't take, I promise you, God will give it to you and your children. And so as Caleb says, that place, the Mount of Hebron, Joshua, as you're dividing it all out now, don't forget that promise. God said that was mine. 45 years, he's not forgotten the promise. 45 years he's been praying. 45 years. And now here he comes. But you know, there's even more to this. Because why Hebron? What's so special about Hebron? Well, not just that it's the best of the land. Not just that it's the stronghold of giants. But Hebron was a sacred place to Israel. Hebron is the place where Abraham and Sarah were buried. It's the actual, just the first little bit of the promised land that actually belonged to God's people. That's where Isaac and Jacob were buried. Now, do you remember the Exodus? Joseph gave instruction. He prophesied that his bones must go and be buried with his family and had to be taken from Egypt, put there in Hebron. I'm pretty sure Caleb's thinking of all of this and saying, if that was God's word, not just in the general sense, but to me through Moses, and I remember what Joseph, the prophet, has said, I'm going to go take Hebron. God's word promises it. And so the lesson, of course, for us is if we want to be strong in faith, we must feed our faith with the promises, with the word of God. We have to see that what is written in Scripture, promised in the gospel, is ours personally. It's for us. Given to us in Jesus Christ. The promises of salvation, forgiveness of the Holy Spirit, the promise the church will advance, the promise the Lord is with us. That is for you. It's not for some other unknown, but it's for you, Christian. And you in faith must grab hold of it and believe it and live like it. So study the promises and take them to heart. What God says in his word. And of course, Caleb, he does take action. He's not waiting. He gets up and he goes for it. And again, if we're believing these things, I would challenge you, brothers and sisters, when it comes to evangelism and the promises of God, that there's an elect people out there, there's an inheritance to go claim, this world is Christ's. What are you waiting for? Has not God promised to bless the preaching of the gospel? What are we waiting for? When it comes to prayer, What are we waiting for? Shouldn't we boldly pray for God's blessings on the church? Souls to be saved and saints revived? Hasn't God promised it? Well, if we're going to be like Caleb, let's rise up and believe it. Let's act on it. And so I want to give you this final thought. And I hope you might take it away and think on it, because I think it's really important, quite profound. But the Lord has given a special place to the role of faith in our salvation. In all the virtues and fruits of the Spirit, faith has a special grace that God highly honors faith. It's in his wisdom the Lord has given faith something of the starring role, so to speak. And he rewards, he honors faith. Our brother Stephen Quinton, providentially, he sent me a quote this week from a Puritan, Jeremiah Burroughs. And I think he puts it well. Burroughs says, "Observe this one thing. There is nothing more in God's design while we live here upon the earth than the advancement of his glory in the work of faith. Although God has his glory in the exercise of all graces, it is yet above all in the exercise of faith." It's a great truth in that. Will you believe the promises? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is our victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So brothers and sisters, I hope you'll be inspired by the faith of Caleb. And you'll be consistent and you'll be bold. And you'll be a stirring example to others. Believe the promises. Amen.